Blog Talk Radio.
Anyway.
from this two-hour pleasure cruise. We're now on Saturdays. We forget about all the evil in the world, and we talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, there's a lot of football going on today, and there's going to be even a lot more going on tomorrow. Now, Thursday night, wow, I mean, what we thought was going to be just a boring 6-3 field goal game, nothing. Herbert's out, everybody's out. This is the time of year where everybody's injured, and it happens. But what the Raiders did to the Chargers, and of course they fired everybody. The head coach, I mean, 63-21. Look, if you're going to allow a team to score that many points, I really, honest to God, I don't even know what to say, because the Chargers weren't even trying. They were dropping the ball at every time they had it. They just looked like they didn't want to be there. They wanted to stay at home. Well, you should have stayed at home. You would have probably done a hell of a lot better job sitting on your couch than you did on the field. It was pathetic. And the head coach, look, your team did absolutely nothing all season. You didn't really have the team playing with any kind of a mission. And the Chargers should be a hell of a lot better than what they are. They always should be a lot better than what they are. The Chargers have been like this forever, but what they did Thursday night was ridiculous. I don't care if Herbert's out or not. You got to hold on to the ball. And there was too many. Oh, look, you're going to drop the ball, you're going to drop the ball. The greatest running backs, the greatest receivers, the greatest quarterbacks have all dropped the ball. But when you drop it every single time you get it, no, you don't do that. You simply do not do that. Well, the Chargers did. And you take a look at the head coach. Now, he may be a genius and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But this goes to show you, you know, as a head coach in the NFL really, for whatever reason, likes to go young. Well, if you are a head coach in the NFL today, I believe you need to be a little bit older. Because you don't have the wisdom it takes to be a head coach. In football, you need a lot of wisdom. Baseball, you need a lot of wisdom. You can't get wisdom unless you spend a lot of time in the league. Wisdom is something that you develop over the years. Not year, but years. Plural. So it takes a long time to get that kind of wisdom. And look, this guy, he might have been a good coordinator. Well, a coordinator and a head coach are two different animals. They're not even in the same food group. Okay? You could be a really great coordinator. That doesn't mean you could be a really good coach. It just doesn't work that way. Well, I don't know what the Raiders are going to do next year, if they're going to keep this guy or if they're going to be looking for another head coach. So it looks like there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be looking for head coaches. There's some teams that are going to be looking for quarterbacks. And there's teams that are going to be looking for head coaches. Everybody needs front line. Everybody needs defense. You can never get enough of that. So it's going to be interesting what the draft turns out to be. I think the draft might end up might go on defense, but you never know with the draft. You don't know nothing. Even the day of the draft, you don't know nothing until it happens. So today we had Cincinnati finally came back and won it. Browning, this kid, I'm really liking him. Now, Cincinnati has a couple of decisions to make. Do they keep him in case Burrow goes down again? Because I think it's pretty safe to say that Burrow, who has been injured a lot in his career, is going to go down again. Or do you trade this kid because he is pretty good and some team might want him and they could get a lot of other players for him because you're not going to be getting a lot because you're paying Burrow $52 million a year. So you can't afford to buy anybody else. So it might behoove of Cincinnati to trade him and get a bunch of other players. Who knows what they're going to do, but this Browning, I really like this kid, and I think he's going to bring the Cincinnati Bengals into the postseason. And who knows how far he can go with them. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they could go to the Super Bowl. Who knows? Nobody knows nothing until it happens, but it is exciting. It is fun to watch. Pittsburgh Steelers right now, I know they're only up by six, but still, Indianapolis is just having a very difficult time of getting that ball over the end zone. They're having a difficult time. We're in halftime now, so hopefully they can regroup. I picked Indianapolis. Pittsburgh is playing on fumes. Got a lot of injuries. Everybody's injured. That's fine. I'm hoping my guys show up here pretty quick because there's a lot to talk about. We got a lot of football that happened last week, and we've got a lot of football that's going to be going on this week. Now, last week, I was a champion. And I could have been completely undefeated one if I didn't pick Carolina, but I was looking for the long shot. Well, Detroit screwed me and Miami screwed me. And I was very impressed with Tennessee. And I'm still impressed with Levis. I think that kid is going to bring that team. That team is set for the quarterbacks. He's looking good. He's looking like a professional quarterback. That he looks like he's been there for a while. He was so pumped up. I mean, this kid was jacked up to the hills, man. And hey, look, you beat a very, very, very good football team, the Miami Dolphins. You beat a really good team. So I think the Tennessee Titans are set as far as the quarterback goes. Now you've got a team you can build around that team. You're going to have to do something with Henry next year. He really doesn't contribute very much anymore. You know, it's unfortunate, but he's old, and, you know, he can't really do as much as he could before. And that's fine. It happens to everybody. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to everybody. If you live long enough, you're going to get old, and you're not going to be able to do the things you did before. But I think Tennessee is going to be a team to reckon with next year. I really, really, really do. I think if you go out and you get yourself some good free agents, boost up. Of course, you always got to boost up your front line. But, you know, get another running back. Get some defense. And, hey, Tennessee Titans could make the playoffs next year. I mean, they really could. Who else screwed me? Oh, yeah, Detroit. What was Detroit thinking? Well, Detroit is Detroit, number one. Detroit's going to do that. Detroit is just Detroit. But look, if they want to win a playoff game this year, and that's all they have to do to have a win, you know, a real true winning season. It doesn't matter that you won more games than you lost. Detroit cannot have an actual true winning season unless they win at least one playoff game. And that's all they got to do. Well, you keep playing games like what you did last week, you're not going to do it. So maybe they got it all out of their system again. But Detroit is a much better team, a much, much, much better team. And then to lose to Chicago? Come on, man. Chicago? Ah. Well, I ended up with 11. I did pick the Giants. No one else picked the Giants. I picked Tampa Bay. Nobody else picked Tampa Bay. I picked the Jets over Houston. Nobody picked the Jets. I just knew it. I don't think Houston is all that. Stroud, I think, is going to be figured out. He already is. And he's injured. So, I don't know. He looks like a Kyler Murray to me, but that's just my opinion. You don't know. This kid could take him to the promised land, and Houston could win the Super Bowl. You don't know. I just don't think he will. I just really don't think he will. So, Viper says he's here. However, I don't see him on my... What is going on here today? Am I even on the air? Well, I don't know. So I don't know what's going on here. Nobody seems to be calling in. My chat room is completely blank. Okay, there we got Viper. There we got him. Okay, let's bring Viper on board. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday. I was getting a little worried. No one's here. And...
I'm sorry. My workout went a little bit longer, but just a few more calories and a little bit more strength. So I'm here.
Well, I was talking about last week and about Detroit losing, and I was talking about Tennessee, and I am really impressed with Levis, and I said at the very beginning when they got him, I really like this kid, and he shows a lot of strength, a lot of poise. He's built, too, this kid. I mean, he's got some guns on him, man. He really does.
He definitely checked off the two boxes of big arm and durable.
Yes, and he's tough. You know, he can take the hits.
Yeah.
But I really think Tennessee is going to be set. You know, they've got a team. They got somebody to build a team around, and I think next year they're going to be a team to reckon with. And I put money on it down right now. Tennessee is going to make the playoffs next year, but they got to boost up. You know, certain things. They got some holes they got to fill, and you could do that with free agency. Do that with draft. Or you can do that with just pounding the guy's butt in the dirt for not doing their job. You know, give them a little discipline. But
well, I think Vrabel does that. I could be wrong.
But, I mean, the team looks like, you know, last week they were playing. They were like, hey, you know what? I was watching the other game. I really wasn't watching the Tennessee game. I was watching the Green Giants game because I picked the Giants, the only one, and I wanted them to win, and you know, and they did win, and the score was 27-13. I saw on the little bloop in the corner, and it was already 11:30. I was dead dog tired, so I said, screw this, 27-13. I don't need to watch the last 3 minutes of the game. Well, yeah, you do. Because I woke up the next morning and Tennessee had won, and I watched the highlights, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, that would have been a great game to see live, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was surprised by the outcome. Seth, how about you?
You know, I'm Seth. Seth is MIA. I don't know where he's at. I tried
to
get
him. I thought he was here.
No. Responded on text or nothing. I don't know where he's at. It's not a Jewish holiday, is it?
It might be.
Yeah, but it's dark, so they can do stuff now.
Well, and I haven't watched Schindler's List in a while, so I'm not entirely sure.
Well, we'll get his picks, but. The Jets showed me, I was kind of hitting on Houston, and I know it's only my opinion and nobody knows anything, you know, really, but I really see this Stroud, and I know he's had a good season, but he looks like another Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray had a good season too, and they gave him all these accolades, but I don't know. Well, the Jets, I mean, they just came out. They wanted to win. Now, they've also got Miami this week. And, you know, unless Rodgers is playing, which it doesn't look like they're going to bring him in early, I don't know how Wilson is going to beat Miami. I know Tennessee did, but that doesn't happen very often. That's a fluke. I can't imagine Miami going down to back-to-back Tennessee and the Jets.
Right. Yeah. I mean, every dog has its day, you know, and every, you know, the Bears right. had its day and Tennessee had their day. And, you know, over the long haul, you know, the Giants had their day. I picked Green Bay, although when I was watching the game, I wanted the Giants to win because, you know, they were playing some pretty good football and I thought they deserved it more. I didn't mind, you know, being wrong on my pick. Because, you know, I thought the better team that night won.
Well, I really like this DeVito, too. Now, it took him a little while to get a little warmed up. But, you know, this guy's starting to feel more comfortable. He's starting to feel a little more relaxed because he's probably getting more, you know, obviously he's getting more reps in practice. But
right.
the team is starting to, they're starting to gel around each other. They weren't doing it with Danny Dimebag. They weren't doing it, you know. Dan Jones, I guess, I don't know what the reports are, but they were, you know, they don't like him in the locker room or whatever. But, I mean, who knows if that's even real or not, and if it is, it is. If it ain't, it ain't. But, you know, if a team does not like the quarterback, they're not going to play well for him. It's just the way it is. It's human nature. And
well, I mean, to a degree, yeah. But, I mean, these guys are pros. You know, they've got
yeah,
their own contracts to worry about, and they can't change because some guy on there they don't believe in.
I know, but when you are already not in the playoffs and you got a quarterback that you don't like, you're really not going to be putting in, you know, you're going to make it look like you're giving 100%, but you're really, really not inside the mentally in the head. Physically, be
right.
giving 100%. Mentally, you're not. And there's a difference, physical and mental. And if you're mentally 100%, you know, that could carry you a long way. Well, I really like this kid, and I hope that he takes the starting job next year over Jones, because Jones has had many years, he's had too many years now to shine, and it just is not working out for whatever reason. It ain't doing it. So,
right. Yeah, well, I mean, the body of work on DeVito is pretty small, and, you know, I think, take Josh Dobbs, for example, in Minnesota. I mean, he lit the world on fire for two games. By game three and four, teams have him dialed up, and they know how to stop him. And I think, you know, as DeVito gets a little bit more body of work to scout and to break down, we're going to see if he's able to keep that efficiency going. But that's the thing about the NFL. I mean, sooner or later, the league's going to catch up to you if you don't get better or if you've got a weakness and your OC and your team doesn't do their best to minimize those weaknesses. So we'll see what happens. I like DeVito. I mean, by the way, did you see a photo of his agent?
No.
Oh, my God. This guy looks straight out of Goodfellas. Oh my God, his agent looks like he's with the Gambini family. It was hilarious.
Go on X
and find it. Formerly known as Twitter.
I wanted to hint on that. We got Seth, and I'm going to bring Seth on board here in a minute. But when you were talking about getting figured out, there's a report, I don't know if you read it, but there was, I guess, a reporter was in the Philadelphia locker room, and one of the players said, you know, what the hell happened? And the other player said, that's because our offense is predictable. He goes, we take
yep.
all day to set up our passing game, and meanwhile, Dallas has already got it set up and scored. And, you know, and that is true. And I think the league is starting to figure that out. And if Philadelphia does not, you know, change up a little bit, well, you know, it's going to be very difficult to, you know, move, you know, further down into the postseason. So let's bring Seth on board. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday. Shabbat Shalom.
Seth.
There you go. I got him clicked on. What's going on here, Seth? Seth, can you hear us?
Oh no, I can hear you. It's amazing the football that's being played right now. Every single day, the football that has been played, but. Today, Saturday, three games. This has been cool stuff.
Well, it is.
Thank God, because there's no college football.
Well, they got the bowl games coming up.
Well, there's one bowl right now, Miami and Appalachian State.
Yeah, you know, bowl games in NCAA has not been so cool since they had 72 bowl games. So, yes, every bowl game is special. It's appreciative. I would like to honor it. But, yes, how many people even know that there's, like, 154 NCAA Division I Division One NCAA football teams, right? So, yeah, all these bowl games, great, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well,
wow,
the Colts just scored again, and now they're up 20-13 and about to be 21-13 if this guy doesn't shank it, and it's right down Broadway. Look at that beautiful kick. So Indianapolis finally figured it out. It looked like Pittsburgh was, you know, in control of the game. Well, you know, halftime, sometimes that's all you need is that halftime. Sometimes you just need a break to get away from the game for a couple of minutes, you know, take a pee, get something to drink, regroup, and, you know, that's all they needed, so...
You sound
like cool. Go to the locker room and have a whole cool Budweiser.
Yeah, have a Budweiser, have a cigarette, you know. I mean, well, that's how, I mean,
wait,
if you look at the old picture of Len Johnson.
Baseball? Are we talking Jim Leland baseball?
No,
like,
I'm talking, I don't know if you guys have seen that picture of Len Dawson in the locker room at halftime. And he's sitting down, he's got a Fresca by his feet, and he's got a cigarette in his hand. This is Len Dawson, the quarterback of the Chiefs. During the Super Bowl, he's got a bottle of Fresca, which I used to love Fresca. That's a great pop. But, and then he's got a cigarette. And I mean, you can't see that today. I mean, you would never see that.
And what's that line from Tim Cup? Here's to the finely tuned athlete on the verge of greatness.
Yeah. Well, hey,
it really
I mean,
was, right?
You used to see baseball players smoking in the dugout. And Lou Piniella, he still smoked even when he was the head coach of the manager of the Cubs. You know, but that was different back then. You know, I mean, but still, I mean,
yeah.
You've got an athlete that is a top, you know, in top shape, and he smokes cigarettes, you know, during the game. I mean, that's Iron Man stuff. You can't get an athlete to do that today, but. Well,
yeah. Anyway,
we are, we're at that time. We got a lot of games. We got to get them covered. Otherwise, we'll never get out of here. But Cincinnati has won.
We all picked that one, right?
Yep, we all picked that one. We still got another quarter.
Bad for a while, though. Minnesota was supposed to win that game, and Minnesota lost it in score fashion. But, yeah, that wasn't a good pick. Everybody, oh, yeah, oh, Cincinnati, easy pick. No.
Well,
no.
Hey, Browning came back, man. Browning took his team. He said, okay, that's fine. We're losing, but I'm not giving up. And if you're giving up, you're on the wrong team. And, you know, that's all it takes. Tennessee did the same thing. They were down 27-13, 3 minutes left in the game. And you come back and win it. That don't happen very often.
I think losing Ja'Marr Chase had an impact on Cincinnati in that game, in all fairness.
Well, isn't Chase with Cincinnati?
Well, they lost him mid-game. Yeah, he's out with an injury. So that's obviously the top target on offense. When you lose your top target, that's going to affect a kid like Browning.
Yeah, I know, but he came back and won.
I know. That's my point. It impacted him, but he still remained poised, found T. Martin for a big catch. I mean, that's huge.
It's really big because, I mean, when you're already down and you lose your receiver and you're losing this, losing that, and you don't care and you come back and you win, that's,
yep.
You know, you can't coach that. That's something you have to
Browning's playing himself into an opportunity next year.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see who picks him up.
Well, see, that's what me and Brother X were talking about. What does Cincinnati do? Do they hold on to him? Because, you know, Burrow, you know he's going to go down. Or do you trade him to get some more players? Because you can't really afford to buy more players because you've got all your money wrapped up in Burrow. So it might be who of Cincinnati to trade him for, like, three other players. But, no.
Right. Try and get an O-line.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially for Cincinnati.
But where would Browning go? What would be a good fit? Well, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, coming up. You know, this is a lot of backups, and we saw that a couple of years ago where the backups were the stars. And, you know, this year there's a lot of backups that are, you know, they're starting to win. So, I mean, again, DeVito, who still lives with his parents, his mom cooks his meals, washes his dirty underwear. I mean, this is a beautiful story. And now he's got DeVito's got, what, my cousin Vinny as his agent, I guess. Oh, that's great. Well, he's in New York. He's Italian. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, anyway, all right, Seth, you got your numbers ready?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the first game, I don't know why Chicago is starting to win. I don't understand that. It might be the NFL gods are, you know, smoking some wacky tobacco, and they're just screwing with us. I don't know. But I don't find them real. But Chicago is in Cleveland. Seth, what are those numbers?
The Chicago Bears. The Bears. And they are 5-8 in the NFC. So there's still a chance in the playoffs.
So you're
versus the playoffs. Versus the Cleveland Browns. Who are 8-5, and how are the Browns 8-5? Everybody explain this to me, but it's cool.
Defense.
And the Browns are 8.5-point favorite against the Bears. 8.5. And the over-under is 38.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cleveland picked it up again last week, but you were playing against a very hobbled Jacksonville. But I got to go Cleveland hammer down. I don't even want to – I can't even really discuss too much of it. But, Viper, I think it was – you know, like you were talking about it, you know, it's – sometimes you just have those games, man. And, you know, everybody's got their day. Well, I think it's crunch time now for Cleveland. They know they cannot afford to lose, because if they do, there's going to be a lot of other teams are going to be tied with them. And it's just going to make getting into the playoffs that much harder, and they need to keep that win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And their defense has kind of slowed down a little bit. But I think they should have – they shouldn't have too much trouble of Chicago. But, Viper, what – why is Chicago winning? I mean, they're really not that good, but, I mean – is there like a logical explanation, or is it just one of those NFL things?
I don't know that Chicago's winning. I just think some other teams just aren't putting them away. And, you know, and I think Chicago is starting to get healthy. Some teams are starting to get unhealthy. And, you know, it catches up to every team, you know, and Chicago was supremely motivated against the Lions. Just like most inner division battles, we've talked about that on other shows. You know, do you pick the Steelers over the Seahawks? Probably, but if you play that same Steelers team against the Browns, well, it's a completely different game because of the rivalry. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of that going on. But, you know, the Bears are, you know, consistently inconsistent. You never know what you're going to get each week. And last week you got something you couldn't predict. So that's kind of where they're at, and that's why it makes it hard to pick them right now, because they're gelling in some facets, but they're still not a good football team. You still can't trust them.
Well, you know, with your point, and you look at Thursday. Okay, it wasn't that the Raiders were such a superior team that they built – that they beat the Chargers 63-21. No, that was the Chargers just having an awful, awful day. They could not hold onto the ball, and they kept dropping it right into the Raiders' hands. They were given that game. You cannot say the Raiders are – you can't say the Raiders were a superior team. That was
– well, you don't go from losing 3-0, not scoring any points, to scoring 63 without the different opponent in front of you.
Well, no, that would be my point as well into any of this, is how do you not only score not 3 points to win in a 0-3 game at home, and then you go to this where you got 63 points, right?
Yeah, that was the Chargers just, I mean, they just gave up. They weren't even trying. They couldn't hold on.
Well, I mean, they had Herbert out. Herbert was out, and, you know, obviously with the changing of the coaching leadership. What?
Well, they fired other people, too, than the coach. I think they
GM.
Fired the GM. Yeah. I think there was somebody else they fired, too. But it don't matter. I don't think San Diego or L.A. now, I don't think they're going to be that good next year either. I'll be honest. Herbert or no Herbert.
Yeah, we'll pull that speech from Bill Murray and Meatball. It just doesn't matter.
It's really gotten crazy now if you really look at the overall numbers. And Justin Herbert, to me, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And now he doesn't even have a 500 record. This is crazy, and that's the Chargers, and that's what you're dealing with. That's it. Period. Done.
Hey, all the $50 million quarterbacks, they're all either injured or not even coming anywhere close to the playoffs. Except for Baltimore, I think. Didn't they give Jackson a $50 million deal? But
yeah,
everybody else,
surprisingly enough, he's the only one delivering.
Yeah. And, you know, when you pay that much for one player, you don't have enough money to buy anybody else. So I don't think that that's really advantageous of you. Oh, we can't let this guy go to some other team. Let's pay him $50 million a year. Well, then you don't have money to buy anybody else. So what are you really doing? Well, you got a very expensive quarterback that has nobody else to throw to. So, yeah. You don't got a front line. You don't have a defense. So, yeah, that'll win you lots of games.
Huh. Yeah.
I mean, well, look at all the quarterbacks that throughout, and even in baseball, all the best players. Yeah, you're getting paid good, but you're not getting these ridiculous, you know, contracts. And I mean, Brady made good coin. A lot of those guys on that team made a lot of good coin, but they won more than the other guys. It goes to show you that, you know, I mean, you got to decide. Do you want to spend all your money or do you want to win? Well, speaking of which, Belichick, I don't know if you guys saw this, but you know, now it's completely official, which everybody knew it last year, and everybody has been talking about it all year.
No,
so now
did he get fired being overseas and get fired? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Well, anyway, he was at a press conference, and they were asking him about him going to another team. We're focused on Kansas City. Yep, we're focused on Kansas City. That's all he said. You know, when he mumbles, he doesn't really speak very loud. But you know, and that's Belichick.
A sweat jacket.
You know, and that's perfect Belichick. It's it is classic, and I love it. You know, he's not going to talk about that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think Washington might be his best team because the owner wants him. They're willing to spend a lot of money. Get a lot of players. They've got a good young quarterback now that can be developed. And I think that would be a good, the best place for Belichick, but who knows where he ends up. Looks like Carroll might be gone in Seattle, which he's overplayed.
Really?
Well, that's what we're hearing.
Wow.
That's what we're hearing. The rumor is in Seattle that he's going to retire. He's not going to be fired. He's going to retire. Well, he's the oldest coach in the league.
I can see that.
He's like 79, going to be 80.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think it's time for him to go.
You're 80 years old and you want to retire and you get it on your own. Oh, wow. You're a bad coach, right?
No, it's just time. It's just time to move on.
You're 80 years old and you retired on your own. That's impressive as far as I'm concerned. Yeah,
look at Paul Levy. He was almost 90. He was 85?